How many of you have some hopes for 2017 that it will be, in some ways, it'll be different than last year? How many of you? It'll be different. Maybe a family situation will be different. Maybe a financial situation or something that you've struggled with. And this year, it's going to be different. Now, I think I'm so glad, personally, just in my own faith walk and faith journey, to be a charismatic Christian, believes in the full manifestation of the Holy Spirit in our day and age, the gifts of the Spirit. But I think one of the weaknesses we have as charismatics is that sometimes we pin hope just based on what we kind of just wish. This year. Oh, it's my year. Well, what's that based on? Nothing other than this is my year. And then you get to October and you realize it was your neighbor's year. And it really wasn't your year. And so I want us to look at some things from Scripture that, because I truly believe that from Scripture, God has good plans for you in 2017. So how's that going to come to pass? Now, I don't know about you, but every year around this time of the year, I get kind of a new rush of determination, right? So, you know, I was doing pretty good exercising the last quarter of last year, and then December came. And that exercise equipment gathered dust. All right, I might have to get out oil to get off the rust from it. So, all right, this week, boom, we're going to start over. And so, well, what am I basing on that? Determination. Walker and Walker, we've got this. All right. If you're basing your hopes and wishes for 2017 on you being more determined than last year, be afraid. Be very afraid. Because how many of you know, 2016 in January, you were determined. So do you have an extra gear of determination that you just couldn't find last year? No, if things are going to be different this year than last year, what you need to do is you need to add something to the equation. And that is God. Because He has grace and He has ability that you don't have. You have all the determination probably that you're going to have. All right? You're not going to have a boost of 50 points in your IQ this year. Amen? We can't just decree that or lay hands on that. Some of you, I wish I could. All right? I'm just kidding. All right. Not really. Just kidding. Okay. But when we open up our life and our plans and our actions and our beliefs, and when we invite God into the situation, now we have reason to believe that things can be different. Because His grace is sufficient. His grace is bigger than your willingness. It's bigger than your effort and your sweat. There's the grace of God. Look at a scripture that Paul mentions this, because sometimes we see the effects of the grace of God in our life or in the life of others, and sometimes we misinterpret what's really going on. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 9. Paul's talking about his own life, his own work, what God had called him to do and what he was doing. 1 Corinthians 15, 9. For I am the least of all the apostles. In fact, I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle after the way I persecuted God's church. Have you ever had a position or a job and you wondered, how did I get this? That's what Paul is saying. Verse 10. But whatever I am now, it is all. Everybody say all. It is all because God poured out His special favor on me, and not without results. Another translation talks about the grace that was poured out. So there were effects, there were results that took place. For I have worked harder than any of the other apostles. All right, so however that is measured, Paul says it's pretty evident that I'm the one who's worked the hardest. That's what you see. Yet, it was not I, but God who was working through me by what? By His grace. Grace is God's ability to help you do more than you could ever do on your own. All right. Grace is not God's willingness to leave you where you are today. Right? It's an empowerment. It's an endowment from on high. And so Paul is saying, what you see me doing, really, I shouldn't even have this job, but even what you do see me doing, it's all because of God working in me. God's grace, His power. Okay? Now, 2017, you know, I wish I could make, you know, a declaration. This is the year of acceleration for everyone at Miracle Life. Now, what I do believe is this is the year of God's faithfulness. Why? Because last year was. And the year before, it was. 10 years from now, it's what we were singing today, that we would get a greater glimpse of a never-changing God. And that is what is so cool, is that in 2017, I don't think I have to declare this, but it seems like electricity prices are going up. Cell phone, did anybody get a text on New Year's Eve? Didn't that bless you? And I'm also thinking, now if you work for one of the cell phone companies, hallelujah, all right. But the government raised the excise 2.5%, but they're raising it more than 2.5%. So don't blame the government. Don't ever blame the government, all right? But things are going to be changing this year, right? Excise and this and that, electricity, TV license, whatever. Things are going to change, right? In Zambia, all over the world, okay? God never changes. His plans never change. And that's the wonderful things that we can, for our own life, we can make a declaration. God, you are faithful. God, I determine that you will never change your opinion of me. Your word is always working. You're always, the Bible says, he's always watching over his word to perform it. That's for 2017. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm so glad that God never changes. He's always leading us into abundant life as he defines it. Okay. Now, so God's not changing. God is always faithful. But there are human factors that are involved with God. Amen. You know, when we see the Bible, it's certainly people, it's responding to who God is and what he has said. And so if God was just going to do this without our cooperation, boy, this would be awesome. But that is very, very unbiblical, all right? That God is working through people who trust him and who believe in. And I want to encourage you today that let 2017 for you be a year that you trust God. Let this be a 5-star year for trusting God, for believing God. Now, some of what is going to happen for you in 2017, there may be some very, very tough things that you face. You're going to face them trusting God like never before. The Bible talks about people who had no faith, little faith, strong faith, growing faith. And you see, that's not determined by God. The Bible says faith comes by what? By hearing what God says, allowing that to settle in your heart, and then acting upon that. All right. And that is within your realm of control. Okay. And so you can't control excise duties and you can't control tariff plans or those kinds of things unless you work at Zesco. Right. But then probably even there, you can't control all of it. But you can determine that this year I'm going to trust God. Amen. So some of you in 2017, it's not always about the outcomes, is it? It's about our response towards God. And so some of you, 2017, you're going to be trusting God and you may see the results of you trusting God. All right. Some faith journeys that we are on don't have a 12-month timetable. It takes more time. All right. People that are in agriculture, if you want to grow pineapples, you plant it 1 year and you harvest it in year 7. So we can't say in year 3, this is the harvest year, because it's just not. You know, I decree, but the pineapple's not going to do it. I declare and I pour water and oil and I'm going to jump around gyrate. No, it takes 7 years. Amen. All right. And so some of the things that God wants to do in your life, you may see some of those results in 2017. And for some of you, you won't. But what will you do in 2017? Trust God. God, I trust you. I believe that you're faithful. I believe that your word is true. All right. Others of you may be trusting God in 2017, and yet someone else messes with your 2017. Right? Maybe your fiance backslides. Oh, Pastor, don't say that. Well, they have a will, don't they? And if you haven't lived long enough to realize that there just sometimes people go crazy. And it's not because of you. It's in spite of you. All right? And so you might be trusting God. You might be doing awesome. And your boss at work melts down or does something dumb and wastes money or something like that. All right? But the fact is, I'm going to still be faithful. Think about Joseph, right? How many years did it take him to get to where God wanted him to be? And it was typically other people were kind of messing with Joseph's plan, the God's plan, his brothers and Potiphar's wife and Potiphar and the forgetful people in prison, right? But what did he do? He continued to do what was right. He continued to be faithful toward God, and God eventually got him to where he needed to be. All right. But if this time next year, if not everything on your list is done, you say, God, I love you. Amen. I've got 10,000 reasons. Whatever may come, whatever I may face, may I be singing when the year is done. Amen. All right. Some of you in 2017 may be harvesting some bad seeds. Well, Pastor, don't say that. Well, you planted them. Right? And the Bible says it very, very clear. And we really like the first part. You know, he who sows to the Spirit will reap life everlasting. But it also says he who sows to the flesh will reap corruption. Okay, so if you've been sowing seeds of corruption for the last 5 years, there's a real good chance that that's the fruit you're going to have in 2017. And my decree and declarations are not going to change anything. Your repentance can uproot some of those seeds. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. I wanted a different New Year's sermon. Okay. But here's how are we going to trust God in 2017? Let's look at three areas. All right. And when we're talking about trusting God, we can only trust God to the extent of his known will for our life. Okay. We can't trust God beyond his revealed word and his revealed will for our life. And so, in 2017, may it be, first of all, a banner year of knowing God's will. Secondly, of speaking God's will from your mouth, declaring, speaking. And lastly, may it be a banner year of doing, acting upon God's will. All right, let's look at the first part, knowing God's will. Knowing God's will. I want to challenge you in 2017, be a student of God's word. Be a student of God's word. You know, in 2017, if you have a degree of ignorance about God's word, it is completely on you. In Lusaka, Zambia, we have access to Christian TV. We have access to bookshop and Bibles and preaching and conferences. You can get free stuff on your phone. You can get updates and somebody can send you their word of the day, word at the nighttime, word in the middle of the day, right? I mean, I've got so much stuff coming up on WhatsApp. I just kind of go, oh, whatever, scripture, right? So, but it's up to you to apply those things and to realize those things. And it's a little bit interesting. You know, there was a classic story of somebody that was lost at sea and there was water everywhere and yet they're dying of thirst because they can't drink it. And while we have so much of the Word of God around us, honestly, I see more biblical illiteracy today than I did 30 years ago of people who are just clueless about God's Word. Because they're not studying it for themselves. All right. In 2017, I want to challenge you. Look at your spiritual habits, your spiritual disciplines. Now, I'm preaching to the choir because it is New Year's Day and you're here at church. All right. So it's pretty awesome. So that's one good spiritual habit to have in your life is go to church. Be faithful in church attendance. Be faithful when the doors open and it's if it's a women's thing, you're a woman, boom, you're there. If it's a singles thing and you're 25 and it's merge, boom, you're there. All right. This year we've got Merge Plus. Hallelujah. 30 years and older. Singles Plus. Well, it's not going to add any plus to you if you're not there. All right. So be faithful. But in your own life and going to church or going to a meeting is good, but it also can be very passive too. All right. So what are the spiritual disciplines that you're going to have on a daily, weekly basis? Well, I kind of read my Bible when I feel like it. Okay. Well, I'm just giving you my experience. I feel like watching sports more than I feel like reading the Bible. But you're a pastor. I know, but I've got this thing called flesh, just like you. All right. And so what you need is a plan, a habit, whether it's morning, at night, midday, whatever it is, whether it's a devotional book. All right. There are wonderful Bible scripture reading plans. I would highly, highly get one on your smartphone. Make your smartphone smarter by having the Bible on it. All right. It's much, much smarter than the cute cat videos that we watch all the time. All right. But download the Bible, get a reading plan, have a time, a place. All right. A time of prayer. Amen. A reflection. And so put the Word of God on purpose into your heart and into your mind. Don't miss church. All right. Get the Word of God deeper in your heart. You saw the ad and the announcements for connection groups. And in connection groups, you meet other people. You have wonderful relationships. Most of them, you eat something. But then you dissect the Word of God. All right. So we take Sunday morning sermon. It's not just hearing it, but how can I apply that to my life? And talking to other people who are just like you. All right. Get involved. Get the Word of God deeper in your heart. Psalm 119:16, the psalmist said this, I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. All right. So how do you live out delighting in God's word? How does that live out in your life? All right. Because if you do have a boyfriend, girlfriend, fiance, something like, and you say, oh, I delight in them. Was it just talk? Or can we see something? Are there actions that we can see that you delight in them? We should be able to look at your bank statement and see that you delight in them. Yes. All right. There should be time. There should be effort. Okay. And so if I delight in God's word, what does that look like in my life? Amen. All right. So we can know God's word and his will, what we would call the general counsel of what God wants for our life. And we must be rooted and grounded in this. But we also need to know the specific leading of the Holy Spirit for your life. All right. When we look in the book of Acts and how God led Paul and different ones to go there, don't go there, go here, run from here, get out of Dodge. God was leading people specifically based on the will of God for their life. And the will of God for your life and mine, there are generals, parts of it that are the same, but then specifics that are very different. All right. So may 2017 for you be a year where you hear and respond quickly to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. When he says go, when he says stop. Okay. Not just to hear, but to obey. Now, for my life, what I find is that if I'm going to be hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit and obeying his promptings, there is the everyday time, but I need to make time in my life to quiet down the other noise. Okay. This last week, we got away for a couple days, went to the Lower Zambezi. And it is amazing how quiet the world can be when you're outside of a city. Okay, and all you hear are hippos. But when you quiet the other noise, you can hear the Holy Spirit better. And so I want to challenge some of you for 2017. And it might be a very, very good idea to do this January, February. Do it in the first quarter of this year. Is to set aside some time. Take some leave days. All right? Set aside time with God. Where you're going to pray. Maybe you're going to do more reading. Looking to Him. Reflecting. Journaling. All right? Some of you may want to say, for 2 or 3 days, I'm going to fast. All right. I want to kind of put away just the things of my normal life just to listen and to hear from God. Amen. If you're doing a strategic plan for your life without the Holy Spirit, it's not a good plan. It's not a plan that will be as good as it could be. Proverbs 16:9 says it this way. We plan the way we want to live. Don't we do that? We plan the way we want to live, but only God makes us able to live it. So we have to bring God into the equation. Psalm 127 verse 1, it's a wonderful verse, but it's also to me a very scary verse. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchmen stay awake in vain. I always remember, I can hear the voice of Kenneth Hagin when he would read this scripture. And he said, notice that they built the house and it got built, but the Lord didn't build it. All right. And I would hate for 2017 for you to be filled with lots of effort and lots of activity. And you've climbed the ladder of success only to find out that your ladder is leaning against the wrong building. It's not where God wants you to be. It's not specifically what He wants for you. And there's a lot that we can push and press with just our own self-effort and try to make things happen. Let the Lord build the house. Let Him be the architect. Let Him be the project manager. Hire Him as the contractor. Get the Holy Spirit involved in the design of your life. Amen. It's better than your plans. Amen? Now, it might be a lot more challenging than your plans, but it's so much better. Amen? So again, how are you going to do that? Set time to hear from God. We live in a very busy city. We live with a lot of things pulling on us at all times. But you have to make time for what's important. Most of us make time to eat. Few of you, I can definitely tell, you make time to eat. All right? So we do that because we know that there's benefit and there's some level of pleasure. All right? Are you making the same kind of effort and dedication to quiet your heart, to listen to the Holy Spirit? All right? So we are going to know God's will in 2017. Secondly, speak God's will in 2017. Well, Pastor, I was hoping that you would make the declarations. You know, I decree and declare. You ever see that little guy at T.D. Jakes' church on YouTube, little 7-year-old? I decree and declare. All right? Pastor, I need you to decree and declare. Well, what I see from the New Testament, it's not what I say about your mountain that moves your mountain. Turn with me to that scripture, Mark 11. Mark 11, 23. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, now who's whoever? It's you. All right. And to give just hit pause here, just to give a bit of background, the conversation that Jesus is having with his disciples, it was started by Peter. All right. So Jesus walked by this fig tree and he cursed it. They went, came back that road a few days later and the fig tree was withered up. And Peter said, Jesus, awesome. This is so incredible. Jesus, do you see what you did? It's like, well, yeah, I'm God. I see things, right? So Jesus was already aware of that. But what Jesus didn't say to Peter is, well, when you're Jesus, you talk to trees. and they listen to you. It's awesome being me, right? No, what he told Peter was, Peter, you can do this. I designed you to speak to your own mountains and your own problems. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things which he says will be done, he will have whatever he... Who's he? He is you. He is she. He is the person who put on your shoes this morning. All right. It doesn't say that he will have whatever his pastor says or whatever his prophet or seer will say. No. He will have whatever he says. We saw this a few weeks ago in December that James calls our tongue an unruly member, small but powerful. It is like the bit in a horse's mouth. It's like the rudder of a ship. What is it? It turns. It's directional. All right. How are things going to change in 2017? Many, many of you, you've got to stop talking the way you talk. I never know the will of God. Oh, I never know the will of God. I never know the will of God. I never know the will of God. And guess what road you're on? Never knowing the will of God. No guy is interested in me. No guy is interested in me. No guy is interested in me. They never see me. I don't know what's wrong with me. No guy. What road are you on? No guy is interested on me. That's the road that you're on. Well, I don't want to be on that road. Then change the rudder. New captain or new course captain. Move it. Amen. I have favor with God and man. Some of you said you say I have favor with God and woman. Say what God says. Now don't be silly, don't be ridiculous, you know? But what God says about your situation, say it. All right? The word of God was said before it was written. And it was written so that it might be said. Let it come from your mouth. Amen. It's the sword of the Spirit. It's the offensive weapon of our armor. Amen. Speak forth the word of God. Many, many, many of you. Oh, friends, in 2017, your mountain needs to hear your voice. Needs to hear from you. What are you going to say about these situations? Turn the direction. Get on another path. Listen to Psalm 91. All right. Psalm 91. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Will I serve the God of Pastor Walker? No, you don't. You serve the God of heaven. You serve the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, your Father. Amen. I serve my papa's father. Yeah, and your papa is Jehovah. Amen. I'm not your papa. I've got only these two. I'm their papa. All right. Okay. I will say of the Lord. I will say of the Lord. What have you determined in 2017 that you will say of the Lord? Oh, it determines almost everything. What will you say of the Lord? Well, this psalmist said, he's my refuge. And guess what? He is. He's my fortress. And guess what? He is. Why? Because those are consistent with Scripture. Those are Scripture. So say who God is. Amen. Sarah herself conceived because she judged him faithful who has promised. Not because she went to a breakthrough conference. She judged him faithful who had promised. Are you judging him faithful? Are you speaking that? I will say of the Lord. Now, let me tell you, faith is not meant for great, easy days. Those days are called thankfulness days. All right. You just thank God and you just love God. Oh, God, this is so wonderful. This is so terrific. Oh, I just thank you. Faith is for the storm. Faith is when Paul and everything, all hope has been lost, and he gets up and he says, I believe it will be done as it was said to me. Not after the storm, during the storm. Amen. Hallelujah. Psalm 3, 1 through 3. Again, faith doesn't mean that all your problems are going to disappear. It means you face problems with faith in God, saying what he says. Psalm 3, 1 through 3. Lord, how they have increased who trouble me. Well, I don't want that in 2017, but there are days, right, where trouble increases. Many are those who rise up against me. Many are those who say of me, there's no help for him in God. But what does David say in verse 3? But you, O Lord, are a shield for me. You're the glory and the one who lifts my head. What are other people saying about you? It really does not matter what they are saying. Oh, I break their words. Don't break their words. Just say what God says. Amen. Their words don't have power. Your words have power in your life. Hallelujah. Amen. Be the prophet of your own house in 2017. Say what God says. See what God says. Understand his will. All right? So speak more of God's word in 2017. And I know in the body of Christ, typically whenever we figure out something that works or it's good or it's biblical, then we take it to an extreme. All right? So, you know, are there demons in the earth? There are. The Bible shows that there are. All right? Are there demons, you know, that are active in the world? Yes, there are. Some of you said, I just spent Christmas with my family. I believe in demons more than I ever believed in demons. Right? So it's a biblical truth. All right? But then we take that biblical truth, and now there's a demon in the chair. There's a demon in the grass. There's a demon in the sky. There's a demon in Coca-Cola. Right? And so we take it, and so that's what people did sometimes with speaking God's word. Go ahead and be biblical about it. Don't be weird about it. Be biblical about it. Amen? But speak more of God's word in 2017. And number three, do God's will in 2017. All right? Part of acting in faith, part of acting while trusting God, is planning with God. All right? How many of you know that Noah didn't build the ark in 2 months? All right? He had blueprints downloaded from heaven to show him what to do, and then he did them. There was a plan of action. All right? When it came to the children of Israel leaving Egypt, all right, how did they leave Egypt? There was a plan, wasn't there? There was a divine plan. Do this, get a lamb, get your stuff ready. Plan according to what God says. All right, and I want to encourage you in 2017, and really I would say take this week, the next week, and where you have a desire or a goal that you believe is from the Lord, and you believe it's godly and it's biblical, and where you have a goal, have a plan to get there. All right? Somebody said it this way, that a vision without a plan to get there is delusion. All right? The Bible puts it this way, hope deferred makes the heart grow sick. All right? But so the God who gave a vision is the same God who will help design a path to get you there. All right. So if you're a student, oh, I'm just believing God for good grades. I decree distinctions. Okay. Having that as a goal is great. Having that as a desire, as a destination. All right. If it's for God's purpose, that's great. All right. Now, what's the plan? Well, I don't have a plan, Pastor. I'm just going to show up on exam day and say, God, fill my mouth. How many of you discovered that doesn't work so well? All right. Oh, this is the year our marriage is going to get better. Well, isn't that a great destination? God is glorified in marriages that are healthy and loving and whole and wonderful. All right. So you have this goal. You have this destination. What's the plan? Well, the plan is my husband's going to change. Bad plan. Bad plan. All right. What's part of the plan? Go buy a book on marriage. Read a chapter every week. That sounds like work. Exactly. All right. The plan includes steps of faith. So when the children of Israel left Egypt, how'd they leave? They walked out. How'd they walk across the dry riverbed of the Red Sea? They walked. For we walk by faith, not by sight. And so there are steps that God wants to show you for 2017. All right. And plan and think and be involved with Him. And so many, many times as you kind of come up with plans or thoughts, listen to the Holy Spirit. And if you're sensitive to Him, He'll say, bad plan. Keep praying. There's a better plan. All right. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in other tongues. Allow God to download the steps to where He wants to take you. All right. And please, please, please don't just ask God to bless your plans. Rather, get His plans. Then you don't have to ask for a blessing because they come blessed. All right. They come with heaven already on them. Start with what you already know that God wants for your life. Lead your family. As Pastor Benjamin, grow in the grace of giving, all right? But think about for 2017, what are strategies that you want to put in motion for 2017, all right? And maybe some of them have to do with your health or your finances, your relationships, your career, all right? What are the strategies that are going to take you to get to those places? Now, what I'd ask you to do is that from what I see from Scripture is most of God's strategies involve godly people. Godly people. Many, many times what you need to add. So we're adding God to the equation. Well, in our life, where does God live? All right. He doesn't live on a mountaintop. He lives in the person that's sitting in front of you at church. All right. And you may need to incorporate more godly people in your life. And I know today, tomorrow, there's some things in my heart for me for 2017. And I already know there's this person, there's this person, there's this person. I need to incorporate, need to recruit them into my life because that's part of the plan. All right. So what godly people? What godly wisdom are you bringing into 2017? All right. Do you have a goal to read books? And really, books are the advice of really, really awesome people that you can get for 100 kwacha. All right. Some of the people that have a book for 100 kwacha, if you wanted to have a sit-down meeting with them, it would cost you $5,000. But you can get more information from a book they wrote. And download that into your life. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, you've heard the saying. If you want to hide something from an African, put it in a book. But not at Miracle Life. Amen. Because we are readers. We are learners. We are people that are adding to our life. Amen. So what are the people? What's the wisdom that you're going to add into your life, into those plans for 2017, all right? Hebrews chapter 11 has all these examples. By faith, Noah built. By faith, Abram went, okay? So this year, what are you going to say? By faith, I blank. What action word? What verb? By faith, I studied. By faith, I looked for land. By faith, I went and met some people. By faith, I said, I want to be a leader at a connection group. By faith, you begin to act on what God shows you to do. All right. And a real, real simple thing is to follow the advice that Mary, the mother of Jesus, remember the first miracle that Jesus performed was at a wedding. All right. Somebody said, Pastor, it's going to take a miracle for me to get married. Well, hallelujah. That's where Jesus did his first miracle. he can do his second miracle for your wedding. That was pretty funny. Okay. You are really asleep this morning. Okay. But Mary said this. So they had run out of wine, and so they said, well, what should we do? And Mary said this to the people that were helping with the catering about Jesus. They said, she told them, whatever he says to do, do it. Don't write it down. Don't think about it. Don't write a song about it. Don't tweet about it. Whatever he says to do, do it. Do it. May 2017 be an incredible year of action in your life. Faith works. Faith, things that are happening and moving in your life. Amen? Hallelujah. Do what he says. Now, something that I have found and a lot of people have found is that what you want to do, those things of faith, the things that you really, really believe that God has spoken to your life, all right? First of all, write them down. Write them down. Write them down. Why? So that those that read it can run with it. All right. So you capture those thoughts. You have a place. And please don't write them on a serviette. Okay. Write them in a place that you know where it is. Or it's a document or a tablet or a phone, whatever it is. Write it down, first of all. All right. But then secondly, show that to someone. Show it to someone. Be accountable to someone other than you. All right. One of the weaknesses that I've tried to overcome in my life is that, you know, certain goals or certain things that I wanted to do, when I kept them private, then no one knew if I was not doing them or not. And I wasn't real harsh on myself. Right? How many know we come up with all kinds of excuses for our own life? All right. But have a friend that is going to ask you every 2 weeks, every 4 weeks, hey, how's that coming? How's that study coming? How's that search for land going? Hey, you said you were going to, you know, you had kind of gone through this time where you just kind of isolated yourself, but you were going to kind of put yourself out there and meet people. How's that going for you? What'd you do last Friday night? I sat at home watching TV. What's the new popcorn? What is it? Yeah, my wife is going to be the spokesperson, national spokesperson for that new popcorn. All right. Find someone who will hold you accountable. Find someone who loves you that's going to say, how's that going? Because what you will find in your life, when someone else knows about it, you will tend to do it more. Okay? Well, I've got the Holy Spirit. Yeah, him and somebody else. Okay? A spouse, a friend. Amen? And then I want you to take, because we're talking about doing the will of God, right? We're talking about doing, trusting God. Take an inventory of your life about the people who are in your life today. All right? So if you went to the ATM machine and you just wanted to see, what's the balance? All right? So that is just a statement of fact for today. Who are the people in your life today? Who are they? Where are they? What involvement do they have? All right. What kind of quality? Are they people who trust God? Are they people who are helping you down that road? All right. If you thought about this, the paralytic that came to Jesus, all right, but he came on a stretcher. So how many know you can't get to Jesus by yourself on a stretcher? Either Jesus has to find you, or what happened to this guy is he had four friends, each on the corner of that cot, and they carried him to where Jesus was because he couldn't get there himself. It was crowded, but they had enough determination to rip off the roof and lower their friend, and Jesus saw their faith. Who are the people in your life today that Jesus could see their faith? Are there people that if you're paralyzed could get you to Jesus? All right. If they're not there today, recruit them. Where? At Miracle Life. At a connection group. Serve as an usher. You'll find tons of awesome people. Parking lot, children's everywhere, music team, Find a place and you'll find people who love Jesus and they love you. Amen. Well, I'm just waiting on the Lord. Well, he's waiting on you. Okay, because they already exist. All right. So there will be times in your life where trusting Jesus by yourself will be really tough. It'll be really tough. And even Jesus himself, when he went to the garden, what did he do? He asked his three best friends to come and pray with him. Why? Because he said, my soul is troubled. And probably there'll be times in 2017 where your soul is troubled. If it happened to Jesus, it typically happens to us. All right. So who are the three people that will come to your prayer meeting? I mean, right? Hopefully they won't fall asleep like Peter, James, and John. All right. I want us to do this before we go. This is a wonderful prayer. All right. I think we've got it up on the screen from Colossians chapter 1. The paraphrase, it's at the very, very end. Nope, not that one. I wrote it out and I sent it. And I said, put on screen. So it should be there. It's just a paraphrase of Colossians chapter 1. And as you know, we've talked about these prayers before. Colossians 1, Philippians 1, Ephesians 1, Ephesians 3. These supernatural, Holy Spirit inspired prayers that Paul prayed for a church, for believers. And so if they're in the Bible for believers, that means they apply to us today. All right. And we can pray these for believers, for other people. I would love if you prayed these prayers for my wife and I. But we can also pray these prayers for our own life. All right. Give me a thumbs up or a thumbs down. Did you find it? Down. All right. Turn in your Bible to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. And we'll paraphrase this. And it's a prayer, really. It's a prayer of realization. And then it's a prayer of the effects of those. All right. So go ahead and you can throw that, what you had there, Colossians 1, the verses. You can throw that on the screen. Okay. So what I'd ask you to do is wherever it says we pray for you, say, Father, I'm praying this for me. All right. And so don't ask that you would be filled with the knowledge of his will. Let's pray it this way. Father, I pray that I will be filled. Can you do that? I'm sure we're all smart enough to do that. Okay. So let's stand to our feet. And we're going to make this, and I encourage you, make this a prayer of 2017. Don't let this be the last time you pray this prayer for your life. All right. Just put your hand on your heart. And just follow along and we'll pray this together. All right. Let's try to do this together in unison. See if that works. All right. Ready? Father, for this reason, I also, since the day I heard it, do not cease to pray for me. And I ask that you would fill me with the knowledge of your will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Father, I pray that I would walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Father, strengthen me with all might according to your glorious power for all patience and long suffering with joy. I think that's Father, and I give thanks to you who has qualified me to be a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in the light. And let's just follow this up. Just lift up your hands. Say, Father, I thank you. Just say it in your own words. Just begin to thank him that you're filled with the knowledge of his will, that you're fruitful, that you're acting upon what he's asking you to do. Father, thank you that each one of us, Father, in this room, Father, that 2017 is a banner year of trusting you. Father, we know that there'll be times where it seems like the light is dim. Father, where maybe there is smoke that's in the room and that it's hard to see. Father, there will be times perhaps where the road is bumpy or the boat is rocky. Father, the storms of life. Father, there may be times where other people may have brought trouble. But Father, we determine from the beginning of this year to trust you, to believe you with all of our heart, with everything that is in us, Father. We thank you that we're increasing in the knowledge of who you are in your word. Father, thank you that we are dedicating to have certain disciplines in our life, Father, that'll just simply up the amount of who you are in our heart and in our vision and what we see and what we do. Father, I pray in Jesus' name. Father, I pray for every person in this room, Father, who is discouraged. Father, who is glad that 2016 is done. And Father, that there have been a lot of Decembers like this, Father, where it seemed like life was not working. Father, I pray truly, God, that the eyes of their understanding would be flooded with light. Father, that they would know and see who you are more than ever before. Father, I thank you for a stirring in their heart to trust you and believe you. Father, I pray for people here, Father, who it seems like, God, that life has been so disappointing. Maybe even others or circumstances. Father, where things that should have gone well, they just didn't. Father, I thank you that, Lord, because they have breath, because they have you, Lord, they have hope. And Father, that things can change and they can experience your goodness in the land of the living. God, thank you for heaven. But Father, we thank you for heaven while we're sojourning in this life. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We give you thanks. We give you thanks. Some of you right now, just while we're praying, heads bowed, eyes closed, just lift up, just begin to thank God. Just begin to thank God by faith, by faith, by faith. Oh, that things are turning, that things are different. Not just because you hope, but because he's faithful, because he's good, because he's slow to anger and he's rich in mercy. And that is the way he acts towards you. Father, I thank you. We trust you. We trust you today. Thank you, Lord. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here today, you don't know Jesus Christ. We're talking about trusting him. The first step of trust with God is to believe that he has a good plan for your life and to trust him enough to be your Savior. So many people who live on the earth today, they put their trust in something else. They put their trust in perhaps their own efforts, their own determination, maybe their education, their hard work, their bank account. But the Bible makes it clear that we are called to live connected to God. And it's only through Jesus Christ. It's not a relationship with God through a church or a creed, but through the living Savior that God sent for you and for me. If you're in this place, and maybe like me, there was a time in my life where I went to church, but I didn't know God. I didn't have a relationship with him. But friend, you can. You can today. One way is to kind of just check your heart. All of us, the Bible says, we're all going to die, and we've seen that. It's a fact. But what happens then? For many, many of us in this room, if we were to die, we know exactly where we'd go, because we know that we have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. But maybe in your heart, there's a real sense of worry. There's a sense of uncertainty. I really don't know where I'd go. I don't know why I'll have any reason to go to heaven. But today you can make sure that you know where you're going for all of eternity. Accept Jesus Christ today. Maybe you're a backslider, a Christian that is far from home and far from God. You can come home to God today. You can come home. If that's your decision, if that's your faith, if that's the next step that you're going to take, I'd love to pray with you. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I don't know Jesus. I want to be a part of his family. Or I'm far from him and I need to come home. Wherever you are right now, simply lift up your hand. Lift it up and wave it at me. This would be the most incredible way to start. Thank you over here. Thank you. God bless you. Who else? Over here. Thanks, ushers. Anybody else? Say, that's me. Today is going to be the day that I determine to follow Jesus and accept him. Anybody else before we pray? Amen. Those of you that lifted up your hand, or now you're thinking, I wish I would have lifted up my hand, just grab your Bible, your belonging, whatever you brought to church, and just come and meet me up front. Just come and meet me up front. Be bold. Step out of your old life. Step into a new relationship with Jesus Christ. Let's give these folks a hand clap as they're coming. There's a hand over here, a hand back there. Wonderful, wonderful. So proud of you for making this decision. God bless you, ma'am. Thanks for coming. God bless you. Thanks for coming. He's a good God, and He loves you so much. Thank you. Now, wonderful. Just come on. Thank you, sir. God bless you. Now, if I wanted you to have this as a gift, right, you would just reach out and receive it. And so the gift that God has of righteousness, of eternal life, you can't pay for it, but we do receive that. And so just as a sign that we're receiving this as a gift, just lift up one of your hands towards heaven. Say this with me. Say, God, I believe that you love me. I believe that you sent Jesus Christ to die in my place. Thank you, Jesus, that you love me. I follow you. You're my Lord. You are my Savior. I am now in your family. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen.